You're invited to step into the shadows with investigative journalist Jasper Murphy, whose obsession with the criminal underworld has led him on a pursuit to unravel its darkest secrets. Though the cases presented here are works of fiction, they are frighteningly realistic. All names, locations, and events are fictional. Any resemblance to actual events, places, or persons living or dead is coincidental. The cases explored can be confronting. To pursue these case files further is to intentionally immerse yourself in a realm where reality and meticulously crafted fiction are indistinguishable. Proceed at your own risk.
The quiet college town of Denton, Texas, was shaken to its core on a fateful summer night in 2008. As the sun set on Thursday, July 17th, a brutal murder took place in the apartment of Jessica Holloway, a beloved 27-year-old elementary school teacher. The vicious stabbing sent shockwaves through the community, leaving residents grappling with the realization that a killer walked among them. Little did they know, the perpetrator was someone close to Jessica, a man she once trusted and loved, who had been harboring a dark obsession, one that would ultimately lead to a violent confrontation and a life cut tragically short. As the police sirens pierced the still night air and the flashing lights illuminated the crime scene, neighbors gathered in disbelief, whispering about the possibilities of what could have happened. The once peaceful apartment complex was now the site of a horrific crime, the bloody remnants of a relationship gone terribly wrong. In the days and weeks that followed, the investigation into Jessica's murder would uncover a tangled web of jealousy, possessiveness, and a history of domestic violence. The community sought justice for the young teacher whose life was stolen in such a brutal manner. Jessica Holloway was a vibrant and dedicated 27-year-old elementary school teacher who had been living in Denton, Texas, for several years. Known for her kind heart and unwavering commitment to her students, Jessica was adored by her colleagues, friends, and the community at large. At the time of her murder, Jessica was residing in a modest apartment on the first floor of a complex located in a quiet residential area. The apartment building, while not boasting high-end security features, had working security cameras covering the stairwells and walkways leading to the individual units. Jessica's apartment was easily accessible from the first level, with an external stairwell and walkway leading directly to her door. Jessica had been in a long-term relationship with Mark Wilson, a 30-year-old software engineer who worked at a local tech company. The couple had met in college and had been together for nearly 5 years. However, their relationship was far from perfect. Friends and family members later revealed that Mark had a history of controlling and abusive behavior towards Jessica, often driven by his intense jealousy and possessiveness. In the months leading up to her murder, Jessica had begun to confide in close friends about the difficulties she was facing in her relationship with Mark. She described instances of emotional manipulation, verbal abuse, and even physical intimidation. Despite her attempts to work through their issues, Jessica ultimately realized that she needed to end the relationship for her own well-being. Approximately 2 months before her death, Jessica made the difficult decision to break up with Mark. While she had hoped for an amicable split, Mark's reaction was far from understanding. He became increasingly volatile, refusing to accept the end of their relationship and repeatedly attempting to convince Jessica to take him back. As Jessica tried to move on with her life, Mark's behavior escalated into a pattern of stalking and harassment. He would show up uninvited at her apartment, leave incessant voicemails and text messages, and even follow her to and from work. Despite Jessica's attempts to establish boundaries and seek help from friends and family, Mark's obsession only seemed to intensify. During this tumultuous period, Jessica found solace in her work and the support of her colleagues. One co-worker, Thomas Brennan, became Jessica's confidant and source of comfort. Though their relationship remained platonic, rumors began to circulate about the nature of their connection, further fueling Mark's jealousy and paranoia. As the weeks passed, Jessica grew increasingly fearful of Mark's erratic behavior. She confided in her roommate, Sarah, about her concerns and even considered filing a restraining order against him. However, like many victims of domestic violence, Jessica struggled with the idea of taking legal action against someone she had once loved and trusted. Unbeknownst to Jessica, Mark's obsession had reached a dangerous boiling point. Consumed by his inability to accept the end of their relationship and driven by his suspicions about her relationship with Thomas Brennan, Mark began to formulate a plan to confront Jessica in her apartment. On the night of Thursday, July 17th, as Jessica went about her evening routine, unaware of the impending danger, Mark lay in wait, his jealousy and rage simmering just beneath the surface. The stage was set for a confrontation that would ultimately lead to a brutal and senseless act of violence, forever altering the lives of all involved and leaving a community in shock and mourning. On that fateful day, the morning began like any other for Jessica Holloway. She woke up early, prepared for her day at the elementary school where she taught, and left her apartment with a smile on her face, eager to greet her students. Little did she know that this day would be her last. As Jessica went about her daily routine, Mark Wilson, her ex-boyfriend, his mind was spinning further into a jealous rage. He had spent the previous night parked outside Jessica's apartment complex, watching her windows for any signs of activity. Mark's obsession had reached a fever pitch, and he was determined to confront Jessica about her alleged relationship with Thomas Brennan. At around 7:30 p.m., Jessica returned home from work, exhausted but content after a fulfilling day with her students. She entered her apartment, unaware that Mark had been watching her every move. As she settled in for the evening, Jessica received a text message from Thomas Brennan, checking in on her and offering his support during this difficult time. She replied with a brief message of thanks, unaware that this innocent exchange would soon be used against her. As Jessica settled in for the evening, she heard a sudden knock at the door. Assuming it was a neighbor or friend, she opened the door without hesitation, only to find herself face to face with Mark, his eyes filled with a wild, jealous rage. Mark pushed his way into the apartment, growling accusations and demands for an explanation. Jessica stumbled backwards, her heart pounding in her chest as she realized the gravity of the situation. She pleaded with Mark to leave, her voice trembling with fear, but her words fell on deaf ears. Mark was beyond reason, consumed by his delusions of Jessica's infidelity with her co-worker, Thomas. He slammed the door shut behind him, his voice rising with each step as he advanced on Jessica. He snarled his accusations, claiming he had seen the way Jessica and Thomas looked at each other, his paranoia fueling his rage. Jessica, tears streaming down her face, desperately tried to reason with him, insisting that Thomas was merely a friend and that there was nothing romantic between them. But Mark's jealousy had twisted his mind beyond the point of rational thought. He lashed out, grabbing Jessica by the arms and shaking her violently, his voice a thunderous roar as he demanded she stop lying to him. Jessica's screams echoed through the apartment as she struggled against his grip, managing to break free and flee towards the kitchen in a desperate attempt to put distance between herself and her attacker. In that moment, Jessica's phone chimed with the notification of a new message. Mark, who was standing next to the side table where Jessica's phone was charging, grabbed the device. Seeing the name Thomas Brennan as the sender only fueled his burning anger, Mark threw the phone across the room and pursued Jessica relentlessly into the kitchen, his breath heavy and his eyes filled with malicious intent. Jessica frantically searched for a means to defend herself, her gaze landing on a knife block. With trembling hands, she grabbed the largest knife she could find, holding it out in front of her as a last line of defense. Her voice shaking, Jessica warned Mark to stay back, pleading that she didn't want to hurt him but would if she had to. Mark, however, merely laughed, a cruel and menacing sound that sent chills down Jessica's spine. He taunted her, his words dripping with venom, as he declared that no knife could stop him from claiming what he believed was his. In a sudden, violent lunge, Mark grabbed for the knife, and a desperate struggle ensued. Jessica fought with every ounce of strength she possessed, but Mark's rage and determination proved too powerful. The knife slipped from her grasp, and Mark seized it, his eyes gleaming with a murderous intent that left no doubt as to his ultimate goal. The scene was one of unimaginable horror, a twisted culmination of Mark's obsession and jealousy. As Jessica looked into the eyes of the man she had once loved, she saw nothing but darkness and an all-consuming desire for control. The apartment, once a sanctuary, had become a battleground, and the struggle that followed would leave an indelible mark on all who bore witness to its tragic outcome. In a frenzy of violence, Mark plunged the knife into Jessica's body, again and again, her screams giving way to a sickening gurgle as blood poured from her wounds. Jessica's legs buckled, and she collapsed onto the blood-soaked floor. Mark stared down at Jessica, the knife in his hand dripping with her blood. In a futile attempt, Jessica clawed herself across the kitchen floor away from her attacker, managing to roll onto her back, drawing her last breath as her life slipped away. Mark stood over Jessica's lifeless body, his hands and clothes drenched in her blood. The realization of what he had done began to sink in, and a wave of panic washed over him. He had to get out of there, had to escape before anyone discovered what he had done. In a haze of terror and adrenaline, Mark fled the scene, leaving Jessica's body and a bloody crime scene in his wake. He disappeared into the night, his mind reeling from the brutal act of violence he had committed. It was not until the next morning that Jessica's body was discovered. Sarah, Jessica's roommate, had been working a night shift and returned to the apartment at around 9 a.m. As she entered, Sarah immediately sensed that something was wrong. The air was thick with an unmistakable coppery scent, and an eerie silence hung over the apartment. Sarah called out for Jessica, but there was no response. Sarah didn't really expect Jessica to be home, as by now she would have started her day at work. But to Sarah, it felt oddly like there was a presence in the apartment. Maybe Jessica had called in sick and was simply recovering in bed. Something just didn't feel right. With growing trepidation, she made her way towards the kitchen, her heart pounding in her chest. As she rounded the corner, Sarah let out a blood-curdling scream. There, on the kitchen floor, lay Jessica's lifeless body, surrounded by a pool of her own blood. Sarah collapsed to her knees, her screams giving way to hysterical sobs as she fumbled for her phone to call 911. The dispatcher's voice on the other end of the line seemed distant and muffled as Sarah struggled to convey the horrifying scene before her. Within minutes, the apartment was swarming with police officers and paramedics. The piercing sirens and flashing lights drew the attention of the entire neighborhood, and a crowd of onlookers gathered outside, whispering in shock and disbelief. As the first responders arrived at the scene of Jessica Holloway's murder, they were confronted with a grim and unsettling sight. The apartment complex, usually a tranquil and unremarkable place, was now buzzing with activity as police cars and ambulances crowded the narrow streets. Uniformed officers cordoned off the area with yellow crime scene tape, while curious onlookers gathered nearby, whispering and speculating about the tragedy that had unfolded. Detective Karen Owens, a seasoned investigator with the Denton Police Department, arrived at the scene shortly after the initial call came in. As she stepped into the apartment, the metallic scent of blood assaulted her senses. The once cozy living room felt oppressive and sinister, the air heavy with the weight of the violent act that had taken place. In the kitchen, Jessica's body lay motionless on the blood-soaked floor, her lifeless eyes staring up at the ceiling. The discarded murder weapon, a kitchen knife, rested near her body, its blade gleaming with a sickening red hue. Blood spatter covered the walls and cabinets, a testament to the brutal struggle that had ensued. Detective Owens surveyed the scene, her keen eyes taking in every detail. She noted the signs of a violent confrontation. Overturned furniture, shattered dishes, and a trail of blood leading from the living room to the kitchen. It was clear that Jessica had fought for her life, but ultimately, her attacker had overpowered her. As the crime scene technicians began their meticulous work, Detective Owens turned her attention to the witnesses. Sarah, Jessica's roommate, was hysterical, her eyes red and swollen from crying. Detective Owens gently led her to a quiet corner of the apartment, offering words of comfort as she tried to piece together the events leading up to the discovery of Jessica's body. Sarah recounted her morning, how she had returned home from work, and upon entering the apartment she had an unnerving feeling that something was wrong. Sarah had expected the apartment to be silent, so that wasn't unusual, as Jessica would have left early for work. But as she walked through the apartment and into the kitchen, she discovered Jessica's lifeless body. Sarah's voice trembled as she relived the horrifying experience. Detective Owens listened intently, jotting down notes and asking follow-up questions, trying to gather as much information as possible. As the day wore on, the investigation kicked into high gear. Crime scene technicians meticulously photographed and documented every inch of the apartment, collecting blood samples, fingerprints, and any other potential evidence. They dusted for prints on the murder weapon and scoured the apartment for any signs of forced entry or struggle. Detective Owens and her team began the arduous task of interviewing Jessica's friends, family, and co-workers. They learned of her recent breakup with Mark Wilson and the tumultuous nature of their relationship. Co-workers spoke of Mark's controlling and abusive behavior, while friends recounted Jessica's growing fear and unease in the weeks leading up to her murder. As the interviews continued, a clearer picture of the events surrounding Jessica's death began to emerge. Witnesses reported seeing a suspicious vehicle near the apartment complex on the night of the murder, and neighbors recalled hearing the sound of a violent struggle and Jessica's screams. However, in a tragic twist, no one had called the police or intervened, not wanting to get involved in what they assumed was a domestic dispute. The investigation received a breakthrough when the crime lab returned with the results of the DNA analysis. Blood samples found at the scene, including a sample from the murder weapon, matched Mark Wilson. Fingernail scrapings from Jessica's hands also contained Mark's DNA, indicating that she had fought back against her attacker. Additionally, a strand of hair found at the scene was a match for Mark, placing him at the crime scene during the time of the murder. As the forensic evidence began to paint a clearer picture of the crime, the means, motive, and opportunity for Mark Wilson to commit the horrific act became increasingly apparent. The DNA analysis, which conclusively linked Mark to the scene, allowed investigators to piece together a vivid narrative of the events that had transpired on that fateful night. The means by which Mark had carried out the murder were now evident. The kitchen knife, discovered at the scene and bearing Mark's DNA, had been the weapon used in the vicious assault. The brutal nature of the attack, with Jessica having been stabbed multiple times, spoke to the violent confrontation that had taken place within the confines of her apartment. But it was the motive behind the crime that truly began to crystallize as investigators delved deeper into Mark and Jessica's tumultuous past. Mark's intense jealousy and possessiveness had long been a source of strain on their relationship, but his inability to accept Jessica's decision to end things had pushed him over the edge. His growing obsession with the idea that Jessica had become romantically involved with her co-worker, Thomas Brennan, despite Jessica's relentless denial, had consumed him, fueling a rage that would ultimately prove deadly. As for the opportunity, Mark's intimate knowledge of Jessica's life and routines had played a crucial role. As her former boyfriend, he knew her schedule. The security surveillance footage from the night of the murder had captured a chilling scene. Jessica, likely caught off guard by Mark's sudden appearance at her door, had let him into the apartment, unaware of the danger that lurked behind his familiar face. The footage painted a picture of a man on a mission, his demeanor calm and calculated as he walked up the stairs and made his way to Jessica's door. On the night of July 17th, 2008, all of these elements had come together in a perfect storm of tragedy. Mark, lying in wait and seething with anger and resentment, had seized upon the opportunity to confront Jessica in her own home. The resulting confrontation, fueled by Mark's jealous delusions and Jessica's desperate attempts to reason with him, had escalated into a violent struggle that would ultimately claim her life. The forensic evidence, combined with the testimony of those who knew Mark and Jessica best, had allowed investigators to construct a chilling portrait of a man driven to the brink by his own demons. The means, motive, and opportunity were now laid bare, painting a vivid picture of a crime that had shattered the lives of all those touched by its aftermath. The arrest of Mark Wilson was a dramatic affair. After the DNA evidence conclusively linked him to the crime scene, a warrant was issued for his arrest. Police discovered that Mark had not shown up for work since the day of the murder and had seemingly vanished without a trace, prompting police to issue a bolo for Mark's vehicle. In the afternoon of Sunday, July 27th, 10 days after Jessica's murder, Officer Michael Thompson spotted Mark's car, a silver 2005 Honda Civic, at a gas station on the outskirts of town. As he approached the vehicle, Mark suddenly sped off, nearly hitting the officer in the process. Officer Thompson quickly radioed for backup and initiated a pursuit, his sirens blaring and lights flashing as he attempted to keep pace with Mark's erratic driving. The chase quickly escalated, with Mark reaching speeds of over 100 miles per hour as he wove in and out of traffic on the busy streets of Denton. Additional patrol units joined the pursuit, their vehicles forming a high-speed caravan as they tried to box Mark in and force him to stop. The suspect, however, seemed determined to evade capture, running red lights and narrowly avoiding collisions with innocent bystanders. As the pursuit approached a residential area, Mark made a sharp turn onto a side street, the car's tires screeching against the pavement. The police officers followed close behind, their hearts racing as they anticipated Mark's next move. Suddenly, Mark's vehicle veered onto the sidewalk, sending pedestrians scattering in terror. Among them was a man riding his bicycle, who had no time to react as Mark's car bore down on him. The impact was devastating. The cyclist was thrown from his bike, his body slamming into the windshield of Mark's vehicle before crumpling to the ground. Mark's car careened out of control, slamming into a nearby telephone pole and coming to a jarring halt. The sound of metal crumpling and glass shattering filled the air as the pursuing officers quickly surrounded the wrecked vehicle, their weapons drawn and ready. Mark Wilson, dazed and bleeding from a gash on his forehead, was pulled from the wreckage by the officers. He offered no resistance as they handcuffed him and read him his rights, his eyes glazed over with a mixture of shock and resignation. Paramedics rushed to the scene, frantically working to stabilize the injured cyclist. The man, identified as 28-year-old Marcus Simmons, had suffered severe head trauma and multiple fractures in the collision. He was quickly transported to the nearest hospital, where he was immediately taken into surgery, his condition critical and his prognosis uncertain. Back at the police station, Mark Wilson was brought in for questioning. Despite the overwhelming evidence against him, including the DNA matches and security surveillance footage placing him at the scene of Jessica's murder, Mark initially maintained his innocence. He claimed that he had been at home on the night of the crime, watching television and drinking beer. However, as the interrogation wore on and the detectives continued to press Mark with the damning evidence, his resolve began to crumble. The weight of his actions seemed to finally sink in, and in a chilling confession, Mark admitted to murdering Jessica in a fit of jealous rage. He claimed that she had pushed him to the brink with her infidelity and that he had simply lost control. The confession sent shockwaves through the community as the true extent of Mark's violence and instability came to light. The high-speed chase and the tragic collision with Marcus Simmons only added to the sense of horror and disbelief that had gripped the town in the wake of Jessica's murder. As Mark Wilson was formally charged with first-degree murder and a host of other offences related to the pursuit and crash, the community of Denton struggled to come to terms with the senseless violence that had unfolded in their midst. The once peaceful town had been forever changed by the brutal murder of Jessica Holloway and the subsequent manhunt for her killer. The trial of Mark Wilson for the murder of Jessica Holloway began on October 15, 2008, at 9 a.m. in the Denton County Courthouse. The presiding judge was the Honourable Samantha Thompson, a well-respected judge known for her fair and impartial handling of criminal cases. The prosecution team was led by Assistant District Attorney Michael Chen, a seasoned trial lawyer with a reputation for his meticulous attention to detail and his ability to connect with jurors on an emotional level. Chen was assisted by a team of experienced prosecutors, including Sarah Novak and David Kim, who had worked tirelessly to build a strong case against Mark Wilson. On the other side of the aisle, Mark Wilson was represented by a team of high-powered defense attorneys led by the renowned criminal defense lawyer Robert Steinberg. Steinberg was known for his aggressive courtroom style and his ability to sway juries with his charismatic personality and persuasive arguments. He was assisted by a team of junior associates, including Lisa Patel and Marcus Johnson, who had been working around the clock to find any weaknesses in the prosecution's case. As the trial began, the courtroom was packed with reporters, family members, and curious onlookers, all eager to witness the unfolding drama of one of the most high-profile murder cases in Denton's recent history. The atmosphere was tense and emotionally charged, with many of Jessica's loved ones openly weeping as they took their seats in the gallery. Over the course of the next 6 weeks, the prosecution and defense teams would engage in a fierce battle, each side presenting its case to the jury with passion and conviction. The prosecution's case was built around the overwhelming forensic evidence linking Mark Wilson to the crime scene, including the DNA matches found on the murder weapon and the fingernail scrapings taken from Jessica's hands. To drive home the brutality of the crime, Assistant District Attorney Chen called a series of witnesses to the stand, including Jessica's roommate, Sarah, who provided a harrowing account of discovering her friend's lifeless body on the morning of July 18th. Sarah's testimony was emotional and raw, leaving many jurors visibly shaken as she described the horror and grief of that terrible moment. Other witnesses, including Jessica's co-workers and friends, provided additional context to the tumultuous nature of her relationship with Mark Wilson. They described a pattern of controlling and abusive behavior that had escalated in the weeks leading up to the murder, painting a picture of a man who had become increasingly unhinged and dangerous. To counter the prosecution's case, the defense team attempted to sow doubt in the minds of the jurors, arguing that the forensic evidence was not conclusive proof of Mark's guilt. They suggested that the crime scene may have been contaminated and that investigators could have mishandled the DNA evidence. Steinberg and his team also pointed to the lack of direct eyewitnesses to the murder itself, arguing that the prosecution's case was largely circumstantial. They portrayed Mark as a victim of a rush to judgment, a man whom overzealous investigators and a biased media had unfairly targeted. As the trial reached its climax, both sides delivered powerful closing arguments. Assistant District Attorney Chen reminded the jurors of the brutal nature of the crime and the overwhelming evidence against Mark Wilson. He spoke of Jessica's bright future, cut tragically short by an act of senseless violence, and the impact her loss had on her loved ones and the entire community. In his closing argument, Robert Steinberg attempted to cast doubt on the prosecution's case, urging the jurors to consider the possibility of reasonable doubt. He argued that the evidence was not as clear-cut as the prosecution had suggested, and that there were too many unanswered questions to convict his client of such a serious crime. After a tense deliberation that lasted for 3 days, the jury returned a unanimous verdict, guilty on all counts. As the verdict was read aloud in the courtroom, many of Jessica's loved ones burst into tears, overcome with emotion at the realization that justice had finally been served. In a powerful victim impact statement, Jessica's mother, Caroline Holloway, addressed the court, speaking directly to Mark Wilson as he sat stone-faced at the defense table. She spoke of the immeasurable pain and grief that his actions had caused and the void that Jessica's death had left in the lives of all who knew and loved her. On November 28, 2008, Judge Samantha Thompson sentenced Mark Wilson to life in prison without the possibility of parole for the murder of Jessica Holloway. In her remarks, Judge Thompson spoke of the senseless brutality of the crime and the need for society to take a strong stand against domestic violence in all its forms. As Mark Wilson was led away in handcuffs, the courtroom erupted in applause, a cathartic release of emotion after 6 long and painful weeks. For Jessica's family and friends, the verdict and sentence brought a measure of closure and a sense that justice had been served. But they knew that the pain of their loss would never fully heal, and that Jessica's memory would live on forever in their hearts and minds. The legacy of Jessica Holloway was one of love, compassion, and the enduring pursuit of justice. Though her life had been cut short by an act of senseless violence, her memory would live on, inspiring others to stand up against abuse, to speak out for those who could not speak for themselves, and to work tirelessly to build a world where no one would have to suffer as she had. The story of Jessica Holloway remained a constant reminder of the power of one life to touch and inspire so many others. Hers was a legacy that would endure, a shining example of the very best of what humanity has to offer in the face of the very worst. If you or someone you know is struggling with issues of violence, addiction, or mental health, know that you are not alone. There are resources and support systems available to help you navigate these challenges and find the healing and hope you deserve, please reach out to those resources for help.
As we close the file on this chilling case, I invite you to continue your journey with Jasper into the heart of darkness. Visit the Murphy Case Files website at murphycasefiles.com, where you'll discover more information about each of the cases. And if you're ready to take your immersion to the next level, consider joining the Murphy Case Files Inner Circle. As a member of the Inner Circle, you'll gain exclusive access to bonus content on our website and access to our invite-only Facebook group, where you can join in discussions with fellow investigators and discover haunting bonus content and chilling revelations that will keep you up at night. Together, we'll confront the monsters that lurk in the shadows and shine a light on the darkest corners of the human psyche. Until next time, keep your wits sharp and your nightlights burning.